have any, they just...
Yeah.
It's the opposite end.
Well, the good news is, we've been learning Tanya, ended off Perek, the 12th Perek last week, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Erev Shabbos. Now we're on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and not Adar Sheni. And the whole Inyan of Adar Sheni is really Tikkun of Ben Lechaver. My Rebbe said, Erev Shabbos, he says, he ended off his Shmuz on Parshas V'yach V'shkolim, that the Ikka Mitzvah Purim, if anyone would ask him what they should be most focused on, of all the Kavanas, all the Avoda, he says, Matanis Yevonim. He says to give people who really need emes, find out who the people who really have a sarak and they're true tzedakas, to give to those people. That is the mitzvah of Purim, like the highest level mitzvah you can do in Purim. And all the shlachmanas, all this extra stuff, like it's, you know, where people give not just 2 shlachmanas, they give like 100 and fancy, all that stuff. No. So the focus is matanis v'vilna. Focus, not just the giant Purim, so the focus is giving charity to the people who need it. Uh-huh. And that's going to make the biggest nachas ruach. And you see that we ended off the Tanya, it's all about fixing up commercial costs with Zohar, Limud, Miyosef, Imachiv. So you need to learn out from Yosef, the brothers. That was what Yosef did for the brothers. He was Mafanis, all of Am Yisrael.
Right.
They were at a point where there was no food. It says, Anali Zahali Yosef, you say in the Gemara, I'm a seed of Yosef. Mm-hmm. How can you say that? Because at one point, if it wasn't for Yosef, none of us would be here.
Right.
Yosef fed all of Am Yisrael at that point in Mitzrayim. And therefore, he came like the father of Am Yisrael by this merit that he gave us all nourishment. So we can all say Anazar Yosef. What's the Indian of saying Anazar Yosef? It says in the Swaram and in the Gemara as well, I think brings it, it's a Shmira for Ayin Hara and Kedusha Zabris. Because Yosef is the epitome of those two things, of Shmira Sanayim, of Hamalach HaGolos Yimikol Ra, you know, being protected from Ayin Hara, and also the idea of, you know, eventually, I mean, initially it was in the sign, but eventually that was the bracha that his sons got. And that's the kind of energy you want to tap into. But it's a lot to do with tzedakah and being tzedakah. Tzedikim, you see it, they're mashpiyim, they're giving. Uh-huh. All the time giving. My Rebbe, when you give to him, his mele is going to be given out.
Tona Rebbe.
Yeah, he's going to give it out. A lot of tzedikim would never go to bed with any money in the house. They always made sure by the end of the day they'd given out everything they have. And somehow they managed to live that way. I'm sure the Gabbaim found it very difficult, because they probably wanted to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But the rabbis just kept giving and giving and giving. And that was generally the derech of the real tzaddikim.
Right.
Like the Rechaim and, you know, I can go through a long list of tzaddikim that were Noah Kacha. He ends off this beautiful perek with a nice thing from a YY, original YY, from Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson, Friedrich Rebbe. When a Jew studies Torah, feels like a student before Hashem. When wisdom is studying, that's wisdom. When he prays, he feels like a child before his father. So this answers up the idea of the Benini, that he has this moment of during tefillah of spiritual elevation. So why is it specifically talking about tefillah? Because you become like a son to Hashem. Whereas when you're learning, you become like a talmid to the Rebbe, to Hashem. It's a nice way of thinking about it. But the point is that deep connection going on a very intimate way, is what gives strength to the Nefesh Elikus to awaken and to weaken the inner struggle of the Nefesh Bahamas. But once again, for the Benini, it never manifests either way. That's what we're learning. So now we're going to go a bit more into this description of the Benini. We're going to start to clarify more.
What's the name of the parak for you? Is have it? Mine calls it the Benini's complex life.
Oh, so mine says chapter 13. Sorry, a bit less interesting. Yeah, but the idea, the Benini's complex life. Yeah, it is complex because it's back and forth. Yeah, because what happens with Benini, says the Alter Rebbe, that the desires come up and down. His divine soul constantly prevents such desire to find expression, actual thought, speech, or action. It doesn't manifest. On the contrary, these three segments are exclusive domain of divine soul and are utilized by the Benini only for thought, speech, and action of Torah study and films and mysteries. But the Nefesh Bahamas is still there, bothering. This is a new thing. We didn't say this before. Accordingly, we may understand the comment of our sages that the Benanim are judged by both their good and their evil inclinations, both judge him and dictate his contacts. As scriptural support for this contention, the Talmud cites, Didiksev ki amed liyamin evyon la'ashir mishpatei nafsho. Spacing the pasuk in Tehillim, he the Almighty stands at the right hand of the poor man to save him from them that judge his soul.
You just read this for a second here.
Yeah, go on.
So we're saying in the case...
Yeah.
Right, okay. He has like that classic cartoon character. You have one guy on your right shoulder.
Oh, the little devil on the shoulder.
Devil on the left shoulder.
Yeah, like Mickey Mouse and when I was Scott. Donald Duck.
You're the bad guy and the good guy telling, whispering in your ear.
Yeah.
Popeye. You see, they stole it from the Tanya.
Yeah, they did.
For stealing that, then they're trying to steal our land.
Yeah, sure.
Anti-Semites. fine, so the
but you see the extension now. We're getting to more explicit understanding of what is going on with these voices. Like, because it's not manifesting, it's just keep reminding ourselves.
Also, the Bala Tanya, it's like interesting. I wonder, I mean, obviously, this for a reason, but at least my experience of it is like he sets you up in this situation where you start learning it and you're like, oh, there's a tzaddik. There's a Tzadik Varala, there's a Tzadik Vitova, there's a Russia, you know, a Russia Gomer, Russia Eni Gomer, then there's the Bainini. And you're just like, I'm, you know, almost like to feel like I'm definitely not a Tzadik.
Yeah.
Very likely not a Bainini. I feel like I might be a Russia. Yeah. And then as it progresses, he almost like slowly eases yourself into the idea that, wait a second.
It's possible to be a Bainini.
I actually think I am a Bainini. I might not be a Bainini all the time.
Yeah,
but I'm a Bainini right now.
I'm learning Torah right now. My Nefesh Elikus is awakened. I'm using the food and drink I ate to serve Hashem.
If I'm a Bainini now,
I'm not feeding the Nefesh Bahamas, I'm feeding the Nefesh Elikus.
Right, if I'm a Bainini now, that means that yesterday I was a Bainini too. You know, even if, whatever, it all, as if, everything's as if. So what about the Akshav?
Yeah, that Asif was very important addition from the
Rabbavitcher. As if, and
That's going to stay with us throughout this whole
So now suddenly he's like...
But the idea that Bainini is ruled by both inclinations. For one sin, his evil inclinations must rule him. For him to do good, his evil inclinations must rule. The Bainini, who supposedly does both, must be ruled, not merely judged by both. However, because the Bainini given the previous chapter, it's clear that Bainini is merely judged by both and not ruled by both. That's the chiluk. There's judgment, but there's not rulership. Why? Because remember, the Tzaddik, the Bainini is not a Tzaddik. He still has a Nefesh Bahamas in a real way. But it never manifests, so it never rules over him. The Nefesh Bahamas.
Right, he says the word here
judges him.
He says the word are there internal judges.
Yeah, internal. That's important.
It's like internal.
Yeah, it's an internal thing. Like, and think about it. How much inner voices do we deal with day after day? I don't know if there's a human dozen, even Shabbos. You think it's Yom Menucha.
Right.
Most people have voices. You're trying to drum chakras.
Right.
You're totally focused on every word, or you're having this inner conversation going on.
Right, exactly. It's like the little internal judges when I'm driving in the streets of Ephraim.
Yeah.
The guy in his like scooter.
Yeah.
And I'm like stuck behind him now.
Yeah.
Going 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
My internal judge is like...
When that happens, if my wife's giving me a lift, I just say, I'm getting out here and I just walk.
I just want to
rather than make my wife carry on behind this person.
Road. No. That's what I want to do, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's my internal judge. My internal judge says that my time is more important than anyone else's time.
Yeah, and also maybe they have a meaning that he shouldn't be in my way.
Right. Like, why should he take
I'm doing something important. And
my car is bigger than his. The craziest rationalizations. Yeah. My car is bigger than yours.
But does it manifest? Like, do you start knocking
off the
road?
I don't knock the guy. I don't honk
him. Suddenly, like, put your bumper on him and then push him off to the side of the road. And he goes off the cliff. You did that in your head, maybe. But did you do it in reality?
Yeah, no. I felt like that, right? I never did it.
But I'm saying that people who would actually do it, they were shy, would actually do it.
Right, one time
and they'd have a good laugh seeing this guy flying right down the road. I'm just saying, there are people out there, they're evil people.
Right.
And they let the Yetzer Hara run the show.
Right. They're the behemoths that live next door from
jungle.
Us.
No, the whole jungle of business. They have businesses, people constantly wanting to get one over someone else.
Yeah.
That's the business. You're in business world, and I'm sure you see it all the time. You have to constantly
let
the Yetzer Hara like run their business rather than and they think that that's the derech of Hatzlacha. And it sometimes is, because Hashem allows the Rishoyim to have success and then he wipes them off. But he gives them initially success. Because then they think, look, it works.
So many stories with these guys, especially coming out of the from neighborhood.
Yeah.
It gets like so amplified. Like, guys. One guy did that recently. He did total Yetzer Hara.
Yeah.
And he ended up, as a result of what he did, he put two massive businesses not out of business, but like in a situation where their business is now like in real
So probably lots of other people lost work, lost
like, and these two businesses, families, one of the businesses, one of the businesses is a company by the name called Madison Title Company.
Whoa.
They hire, one of their intern from company to link, but they hire billions of dollars. They hire hundreds and hundreds of Kolo women.
Whoa.
And like that's their Indian.
So it's affected all of them.
Because they work for them, because they just need people to do the paperwork.
Sure,
so it doesn't need to be an American.
There's many similar kind of businesses here.
And so, and
which give a lot of business to the
and like they built their model also like, it's like a lot of people in that industry get kickbacks, right?
You know, sometimes these businesses though take advantage of the color wives. So when they end up going through hard times, it's in a way that maybe they need to look at how they're treating their color wives.
That could be too, also.
So it's never like a clean story. Like Hashem, it's never like unfair. Hashem knows what he's doing throughout every single Hashkacha Pratis for each person, how everything gets affected. It's all Min HaShemayim, perfectly orchestrated to fix everyone. But the point is, there's a moment where a person thinks the Yetzer Hara will help, but the that's when he starts giving to Yetzer Hara. But here he's never doing that. He's just hearing the voice. It doesn't mean he's never listening. It's never ruling him. That's what you have to understand. That's the Madrega of Benini. The Yetzer Hara is never actually ruling. It's talking, but it's not ruling. That's the point. Yeah. He is ruled by both the good and evil, God forbid. Because what happens when the evil nature gains rule over the small city, which is him, the person, rules one's body? Mikra Russia, he's going to become a Russia that moment.
That's
what you're saying. So we're really clarifying. Osa Shah. It's really clarifying the as if.
The as if
thing. Osa Shah. Ela Yetzer Hara Einar Rak. Rather, it shows you with these kind of things, you have to wait a little bit to clarify. Because then we were going crazy. Like, what does this mean?
Osa Shah.
But comes the next chapter.
Don't be Russian. Don't be a Russian.
There we go. Don't rush. Ela Yetzer Hara Einar Rak. Rather, even Christian's Bane is no more than what? A judge who expresses his opinion on a point of law. So it's saying opinions. Like you had the thought of driving that guy off the road, or shooting him at least. Right. But you didn't.
Shmushing.
It was a voice, but you didn't do it.
Right.
Because your Yetzer Tov is running the show.
Yetzer Tov.
Yeah.
Or my wife is driving.
And for PK and Yochel Yot Shaloye Sakalaka Kachlamasa. Yeah, in fact, decision not necessarily final. But there's another mishpah who disagrees with him. And this other mishpah, the other shofet, is machriya. Is lachriya lebenayim the halacha k'divrei machriya. And the final word it will rest with the arbiter. And who is the arbiter? Kiach yetzer or medasa b'chalav smuli b'leiv.
Right.
So similarly, the evil inclination, this now is bringing it into Mitzias. The evil inclination is this like judge on the right, left side of the heart, left side. My leiv ola lemayach lehiraboy, from the heart to side sends the mind for contemplation. It gives you thoughts that you maybe you shouldn't be having.
Right.
Me'al cholek shovid hasheni, it comes to the right side of the heart, shenefesh alekuz, shebamayach, and in the mind, he doesn't, and habis pashe b'chalimini shebaleiv. So first it goes to the mind. The mind is where it's not the right side of the heart. First, it's the moyach, where the nefesh elikus is present mostly, and it's must pashed from the moyach to the chalal yemini,
which is the chabad. That's the
chabad. Gemochin shekeinah yetzer tov, where the good inclination abides, reveals itself.
Right.
So that battle's going on within between the right and the left. But remember, the moyach is sholet.
Right.
So halacha kedivrei machriya, the verdict rests with the arbiter, who are Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Holy One, blessed be, comes to the aid of the good information. So this is really important. This is like the key to understanding all the rest of the Voda, everything. About constantly asking Hashem, Ozali, help me, help me. This constant need for Hashem. The whole concept of
tefillah.
The only way you can survive this inner struggle is with Hashem's help.
But also what the Tanya is, doing here also, is he's basically explaining that, again, he like set us up to feel like the Beinoni is this level we can't achieve. And now suddenly he's telling us that level you think you can't achieve, you are that level. And not only that, within that level, people have these crazy thoughts. Like we have these thoughts like, oh, let me run this guy off the road. All right, let me,
it's out of character even.
Right, so you run the guy off the road, the guy who comes collecting, and let me just slam the door, and What the Baal HaTanya is saying is that no, this not only that he says you're okay, he says your left side, right? Your right side. Or which side are we talking about? Because your heart's on your left side. But I think you're saying the small, which is the left side. All right. So he's saying that you're the side of the Yetzer Hara, that Nefesh Bahamas, that part first gives you that initial response of like, let's do that, which is interesting, right? He's saying the Beinoni first addresses a situation with a thought from the place of the Bahamas, of the place of from that place where we're gonna say run the guy off the road, we're gonna say I'm not gonna just collect their money, but then what happens is your brain, yeah, which is Charlotte on your heart, then comes and you bring Hashem into the picture. It ends up
Hashem helps you, but now we're also another way of looking at it, not just about how much we're dependent on Hashem to strengthen our the Yetzer Tov and the Moach and the Lev, uh-huh, the right to let to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's also, but there's another Nakuda that I would say that Hashem's watching us with this inner struggle and getting Nachas from it, because he's seeing us struggling with this Nefesh Bahamas, which is a human reality.
Yeah.
And we're constantly overcoming it. And that in itself is tremendous pleasure for Hashem, because we're constantly choosing him. Whereas remember, the Tzaddik Gomor, he doesn't have this battle.
Right.
So that's why we would say that Baal HaTshuva Omdim is a high madriga. Right. This concept, the person who's in the struggle actually has a mila. The inner struggle is a strength, because it's a constant thing. There's no escape from it.
Right.
Unless you become a Mamish Sadek Gomor, which is unlikely. So you're just constantly struggling your whole life. And that's constantly making a nachas ruach to Hashem, because you're showing how much you love Hashem constantly, even when you have this force telling you not.
And I'm sure enough the Baal HaTanya goes there in many ways. The Beinoni, his chus is like Mamish, because he's just grinding day to day.
Grinding, that's it.
Sadek Gomor is like checkmate.
Yeah. Now his problem. Yeah, but his problem then is everyone else. That's the
becomes his responsibility.
Yeah, that's why I always say Shalom Sani Rabbi, because I wouldn't want to have
Rabbi.
I wouldn't want to, or Shalom Sani Tzadik Gomor, because I wouldn't want to have to like be
responsible for.
Because once you're not coming here for you, you're coming here. You're already good. You're coming here for that's everyone an else.
Interesting,
they have to stand there and constantly be available for everyone.
Feels and like then, too much.
It's like when Moshe Weinberg, my son. I don't know if he's a Tzadik Gomor, probably Tzadik Sheina Gomor, but. If he's standing there, he's got to deal with everybody's stories.
He day holds after day on after to day people's after day.
And he's a sensitive neshama, so he's constantly dealing. So it's such a weight.
Sometimes I will open up, like I've been talking to him over the years, and like he'll just like, sometimes just like.
Yeah, I've heard it from other
cities. He just says, like, just like the things he deals with, like, and you're just like, oh my gosh.
My Simaya once said, I can't. Sobel, the Nisyonis of Baal HaTshuva Chassidim, said it's just the hardest sugya.
Right.
He said that to me once. And I was like, well, Rebbe, I'm one of those, so you can't sobel me, like getting rid of me. And in the end, he was like, yeah, go to the told the Rebbe, get it, because it's like too much.
Rebbe Weinberger gets different. Like, Rebbe Weinberger gets like, I don't know how many, but I bet you on a daily basis, he gets suicide messages.
Wow.
Like, daily. He gets messages from people who are like, I'm ready to kill myself. You know, like he gets daily.
You know, YY talks about
numerous ones.
YY Jacobson's become a huge force where he can't answer anybody anymore, like by email. He used to answer my emails, doesn't anymore.
Right.
That's an actual automatic response.
He
used to answer, now he can't. So, one of the things I heard him say recently, like 2 weeks ago or something, he said in a shir, he said, my voter often now is to learn to let go that it's not my responsibility. Because people are coming to me constantly and I have to learn to let go that I'm not here to fix everybody. I'll fix who I can fix. I'll help myself. I'll help the people. Whatever I can do, I will do. But whatever I'm not meant to do, I have to accept it and be besimcha with that.
Right.
That's his nesayin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even as a parent, I've realized again and again. Because, for example, my kids were late for davening, yeah? And I want them to do birkas kodem, birkas shalom shavarachim, at least come to that part, you know? Right. Fine. They don't make it to pazuka dezimba, but they can at least make it to the end part of the davening. Yeah. That much I like. Generally, they do. But this week, they didn't. So I was a bit upset. And I had to like work on myself. First I said busha to them and said, I'm embarrassed that you came so late. But then I was like, no, I have to be shalom. I have to be simple, because the fact that they come b'chlal, the fact that they're them sitting in a shir, and you have to just tune into what they do, not what they don't do.
Yeah.
You have to strengthen the Yetzer Tov, not strengthen the Yetzer Hara, which will make, because the more you put them down, the more they strengthen, the more they think, well, then I'm never going to get up, you know?
Vada.
You have to give them the belief that they can do it. So then they do.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's easy with other people's kids.
Yeah. So I like every week I say, look, in the last Shabbos, I'm like, guys, it's big Shabbos this week. Generally, it always is for some reason or another. I'm like, let's make it, let's do the, let's come to the Avenue, because Kanye makes Hashem happy when all of you are there and at least myself, you know. Anyway, but that's the point. We're trying to strengthen this Yetzer Tov voice to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and we have to do it for ourselves, but we have to also strengthen other people around us as well. The help that God grants the glow of divine light illuminates his divine soul. And that's what Hashem's doing for us. I mean, if we're doing it for others, I'm sure Hashem can do it even more for us.
Right.
But the point is, Hashem is illuminating the divine light that illuminates the divine soul. So that the idea is that we're asking Hashem, please help me overcome this struggle every day. Yeah, we say it every morning. In the Book of Shachar, we ask Hashem to help us fight the Yetzer Hara. Mm-hmm. We were davening all the time, yeah, and even before that, Gemar Chassidim Tovim Namo Yisrael, that tefillah is all about the Mochamah Siyetzer, and to ask Hashem every day, Liyoslo, Yisroin Shlita, of Sikulis, of Kisil, of Yetzer Hara, that he may gain security after the folly of the fool, that's the Neshama, the Nefesh Elikus, Kishin Or, Minachoshek now, and is able to have dominion and superiority of light over darkness, as we already learned. The idea that Mat Minachor is Doka Habi Minachoshek, there's a little bit of light, gets rid of a lot of darkness. That is the koach of Hashem giving lightening up on the Shema. So that's what I quoted you, by the way, this week when you mentioned about Ben Shapiro. So I said, you know, like he's a tochem, you know, he seems to know so much. But then you said, but he's missing light a little bit. Yeah, he doesn't share enough light. He shows a lot of like facts, but not enough light.
Right.
So I said, I'm saying to tell us, he probably knows this about himself anyway. I'm not talking about Shanghai, it's public. He's a public person. So I don't think it's Shanghai to talk about. Just a reality. So my son said to me, which might be Lashon Hara, I'll say it anyway, because my Rebbe makes jokes like this. He says, probably because he's a lit bag. I said, how do you know? He said, he sounds like the way you just talk about him, and I've a little right. bit heard of him, he sounds a bit like a lit bag. Because my right. son has this whole thing of lit bags. He's very Hasidic, my son.
Which one?
Baruch, the oldest.
Oh, the oldest son?
Yeah. He's very into, he didn't like Hasidic, but the other way. He only went to Hasidic places.
Right, he looks like an Uman Yid.
Yeah, he's into awe. He wants awe.
Ah.
His thing's light. So he's like, yeah, you have to be light.
I've actually been feeling the call to go to Meshbitz now.
Yeah. Oh, after Shabbos Sudis.
And because I was thinking, I read my on Shabbos,
son as well when
talking with somebody who was talking to me about Meshbitz, and I was like, he was saying the exact same thing I felt.
Holy, holy place, like, holy energy.
The Hashem Tov Shul.
Hashem Tov Shul is beautiful. The mikveh there, the Mayan, and also the where the Kevvarim are. There's so many tzaddikim there.
Right.
Oyv Yisrael, the Degel Machane Afraim, the you know just go on and on like all the different Baruch Mezevich. There's so many like tzaddikim. Fager and Udo and all the Mishpacha from, you know, Baal Shem.
Right.
And about obviously the Baal Shem himself, and there's some other Siddiqui as well, some of his Tambinim. I think Zev Wolf. I think that was the story, by the way. When you mentioned the story, Shalat Siddhas, which Shlomo couldn't remember the name of the Talmud, but I think it was Zev Wolf. That was the Talmud he was referring to. I don't like to shout out. One, I might be wrong, and two, it's not correct.
Right.
The Rebbe answers.
So let me just look at this.
Oh yeah, please.
So Hashem assists. What is divine word? He. Oh, veha ezer he ha hehara shemi ira Hashem al nefesh elikus.
This light.
This assistance.
Divine assistance. Divine assistance. With what? With the Yetzer Hara. I'm going to open up the old version to see if there's anything
here. He says a very interesting zachir.
Go on.
But why does the divine soul need a glimmer of God's light? Which I guess is the... Let me see here. Is,
it's Hashem's help.
Ora al nefesh al
kris. Yes, light sending light to us.
Ha ha'ara. Surely the soul is itself God. The retz nefesh al kris. Why do you need to add?
Yeah.
On one hand, it is a soul...
It says about the judges, the sea of passions, the intellect is the forte of the divine soul. So old school lesson.
Ah, so he says here, the assistance,
yeah,
right? The Azer.
Yeah.
The Tanya here speaking of, who's Lahak? What is that, the Rebbe? Yeah. Taras Menachem. This is the Rebbe. We're assuming the Rebbe is
good. Yeah.
He's saying this assistance that the Tanya here speaks of, the Azer, is actually the divine soul's and nefesh al-kus's ability to get in touch with its true self.
Oh.
To stop for a moment being bound by the limitations of a soul and to behave in accordance with its inner, truly divine identity.
Wow. I mean, that's a big psychological point that cognitive therapy would definitely agree with this.
Right, right. That is
the idea of identifying yourself with your neshama, with your soul, and not with your nefesh bahamas. That is like that's Eckhart Tolle like summed up better than Eckhart Tolle.
A lot of like 12-step programs is also like that. It's all about, you know, noticing your higher power. And so someone says, "Mamish, I want to drink alcohol. I want to get trashed. I want to drive. I want to do an 8-ball right now."
Yeah.
And
I was a bit shook of the Shabbos after.
Well, say we're talking about
after the Kiddush, I went back to someone else's Itamar's house, and they gave me a whole load of other types of that. So I went through Iraq, whiskey, wine, vodka.
That's a good mix.
There was something else.
Bira, you had bira?
Beer as well. So that's five different types, all in within a space of like 2 hours, right after davening.
Spreading the arse. You were being.
I was dancing to Mincha.
You were being.
I was dancing in Mincha.
Oh wow.
The Rav was like had a little twink in his eye when he saw how like Freilicha was.
You have to.
Ladies, it's not usually this so jolly.
Huh?
He was like, "You're usually not so jolly." The good thing is I behaved myself. I didn't do anything crazy. That's good news.
Yeah, I feel like I was talking to a friend. I feel like we need to make the shul needs a little more like
joy,
simcha.
Yeah,
maybe it's the war. I don't know.
It's the war. It wasn't like this before the war. It was much more happy. It did add a level of seriousness because a lot of parents of soldiers, including myself, and people have gone through some heavy things with family and friends. Right. But the Rav knows this. He's just more a gevurdeka person.
Right.
As you can see, he's very connected to Weinberg. It's very Gevurdeke energy.
Right.
But, you know, there is elements of people here who bring that kind of vibe. But, you know, there's also Inyan when you're in shul not to speak, you know?
Right.
It's a stump. So they don't want it to become like a social vibe. So there's that balance.
Right, exactly.
I do feel there needs to be a bit more for Brennan style experiences where we actually can schmooze and not just have constant. Droshes.
I want to bring up Joe here for a break, and he does something. He's like amazing at fabric.
Yeah, but just like actually where we actually talk, not just him talking.
Because we need both.
Need both. Because we need to be able to just schmooze the vessel. Very important. Like one of the reasons why I loved Fabregan is like a real Chabad Fabregan is because there's always those times where the guys not speaking.
Away.
Yeah, and you're singing, dancing, a lot of back and forth.
Maybe I'll text him for Zayin Adar.
It's a good idea. It's coming up. My wife's Yom Lele as well.
Oh yeah, Zayin Adar?
Yeah, I'm a week later on Purim. She's Zayin Adar, so this is our time. Our English birthdays were Gavain already.
So you guys are born in Zayin Adar? In Adar?
Yeah, Zayin Adar, and then I'm Purim, so I'm a week after. She's
your
a week
mom is Purim?
Yeah, she's a week after me.
Well, you were born, your parents didn't really keep Purim.
Well, maybe, they knew about it. I mean, my grandparents.
I'm saying, which is crazy also, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably better, because then they weren't drinking.
Right.
But anyway, so let's go.
So as we're saying,
underneath here it says there's a question. It would say, why then should he need special divine assistance curbing his appetites? So naturally, like you said, they're going to want to drink, they're going to want to do drugs, all this kind of stuff's around us all the time. The Rebbe Shlita answers, the divine assistance is necessary where the conflict between the two souls does not involve a struggle of mind versus heart. When the divine soul wishes to prevent sinful thoughts from rising in the mind, when the emotional factors of the divine soul seek to overpower those of the animal soul. But now, the question may be reversed. Why does, in chapter 12, the Alter Rebbe use the argument of the mind's natural supremacy over the heart, point out divine supremacy over the animal soul? So this is Rebbe Shlita answers. In chapter 12, the Alter Rebbe speaks of state of the Benjamin after prayer.
Right.
When the effect of the meditation of godliness during prayer still lingers in his mind. At such time, his mind is suffused with godliness to point out where the animal soul cannot so much as voice an opinion there. Thus, any struggle between the soul at the time would be a case of mind versus heart, where the natural supremacy of the mind could confer victory on the divine soul. So you say, be not wicked in estimation. Maybe you had that at the beginning. If a man considers himself wicked, he would grieve at heart and depressed. He'd not be able to serve Hashem properly with joy. Mm-hmm. What's the point? It was Chodesh Adam. Yishenik is Adam Mar Ben Besimcha. The main victory we're going to have over the Eight Torah is how much we increase in Simcha.
Yeah.
That's the real Hatzlacha of this time. He now explains the meaning of the oath, which actually means be your own eyes like a Rasha. Is that regards himself not as equal to Russia, but like one having traits similar to those of Russia. That means he must consider himself a Beinoni who possesses the same evil in soul as does a Russia, and Zaiva just as a Russia does. But he's not going to actually you know, once again, live it, give it to her. That's going to be the next Lekuda. Should we go? We got time enough to go into next Shtickle? Yeah, we got enough time. Ach ma'acha shabra halav smuli benini hu tekufa b'tadaso lis taivis taiva l'chol tanuga l'mazeh. In so much as the even left part of the benini's heart is in its native strength, craving after all pleasure of this world. Lo nisbato miyat l'gabi hatov lo niditcha mokom m'klav. As neither so minu as we like for the good of the divine soul, nor has it been deplaced from its position to any degree. Raksha ein lo shlita m'mshala l'spashet b'veri guf. May he lacks authority and power to become diffused throughout the limbs of the body, and therefore to cause him to speak bad or to think bad or to act bad. Yeah. So the Rasha, he's not able to, the native strength of the eighth or the left side actually does prevail.
Wow.
So it's you can see it. So it's interesting because the world, you know, the one famous thought leader that comes to mind says, I don't know if he's someone worth listening to generally, but this one point is a powerful point. He said it's all about borders. It's all about boundaries.
Boundaries.
Because in the end, it's all about land. Like you see in Eretz Yisrael with land. Who owns this? Who owns that? All the more conflicts of history have all come through whoever owns what. So now inside a person, there's the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. It's like who's Sholet? So by this, Beinoni, the Yetzer Tov is always Sholet. But there's still this constant presence of Hamas or Hezbollah. They're always there, yeah? But they're not Charlotte. They're not Charlotte. Wish, you know, if we'd say, halavai, the Israel, Bnei Israel, the army were Sadiqim, all Sadiqim, and so was the Medina. Everyone was serving Hashem.
Right.
So then, like times of Dovid Imach. So in that time, so then they were Charlotte. They didn't wipe out the Plishtim, but they still were Charlotte. So Dovid Imach never allowed them to fully conquer Israel. They always conquered them, but they still were around, making bayat, making trouble.
Right.
And in Eretz, there's an Indian to purify the land. It's not genocide. It's part of the Chas Hashem. It's part of the clarification. Like just like within each person, there has to be a shlita of the Eitz Tov, the neshama. The Eretz is a pure place. It has to have that kind of right. People. It's about the mir gabi atov, no dech mekom mekal. As neither minute to be notified before the good of the divine soul has it been space for eternity. Rach ein shlita mshala espashah by reguf. Because the Holy One stands at the right hand of the poor man, but ozem ma'il and nefesh alikis, and helping him irradiating his divine soul, and be able to prepare for the good. So he's doing that as a nation, but he's doing it within us, each of us, every single person, the right hand of the poor man. That's the pasuk in Psalms.
Right.
We're like poor on a certain level. We don't have kayak to overcome this malach and this nefesh Bahamas. It's very strong. It's very the world's very physical. Comes Hashem and says, no, you've got the strength because I'm going to light you up, your mind, your heart. This is thus the only divine intervention that the evil prevents from preventing the body. And actually, however, the evil of Benedict's soul is as strong as it was at birth. Because remember, you're born with a very strong inner heart. Yeah, you just want physical. You're not yet learning and davening.
Yeah.
Therefore, the Benedict is described as Kurasha. He's not actually a Russian, he's not listening to it, but he considers himself like a Russian. Like, even if the Holy tells you that you are a Tzaddik, being I was like a Russian because you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lost that self-awareness, you have a Nefesh Bahamas. Lo Rasha Mamish. You're not an actual Russian, you're not doing Averas. And it doesn't also hinder you from serving Hashem joyfully because you're not identifying with it. You're not saying I am a Russian, you're saying I'm like a Russian.
He actually said here, we're trying to answer that question for the beginning.
Yeah.
Which says even that's if right. The world tells you you're a tzaddik, you have to consider
that was the beginning of
Tanya.
Russia. Yeah.
And so, and then the flip side where it's don't consider you're Russia, right? The stira that he had.
Sure.
So here he's answering that. That's what.
Good.
Zemasha Omer.
Yes. Ela shechazik atzma lebenani. Rather, one should consider himself one what a benani. Lo la'amin olam shomim shara shabo shezbatal legabei tov shezu medrega tzaddik. And one should not believe the world's opinion, which he understands that this was the Chiddush that Baal HaTanya was bringing to Amis around the world, that people thought that as long as you, like, you know, don't do the Yetzer Hara, then you're a Tzaddik. But that's not the point. No, you're not. The Yetzer Hara is there, so therefore you're Beinoni.
Ah, like a Russia is a
Beinoni. Because the one who's bottled his Yetzer Hara, whereas the judge is now quietened, it doesn't even, can't even say anything. You know, it's just some.
Wow.
Tiny miyat of miyat shabim miyat, it's nothing, it's a gornish.
Right.
That kind of yetzer hara is a sadik. That's a sadik.
Even if you achieve
there's no an voice
external,
even.
An internal self mastery, never sinning, or
there's no
even
judge
on
the left
to
side.
Sin,
It's gone.
You cannot be sure that you are a tzaddik. You may just be a benini.
Yeah.
Your external behavior is in your complete control. Even your negative thoughts can be replaced with good ones, but your deep emotional core is resistant to change.
Yeah. So it says, Eli Yebeinav Ki'ilu Mahusa Tzmusa Shara Tekufo Gvorosa Bahala Smoli Kedodosoi. He said he should take the view of the essence and core of the even its full native strength and might in the left part of his heart, Lo Cholef V'Cholech Remeinu Ma'uma. Not vanished or departed from it at all. Add the rabbi, and his chazak goes to Hemshech Hazman, Nishtamish Bahabe. I'm sure with the passage of time, the evil has gained strength because he utilized the animal soul considerably. Bachila, Vishdiya, Vishayin, Yalam Azeh. So you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with the things that give koach to the Yetzirah.
Right.
Achila, Shdiya. But it doesn't mean you have to listen to it.
Right.
You understand? You don't have to speak it. You don't have to act on it. You're strengthening it somewhat. So it's going to come back when you're not davening and learning. These forces are going to be awakened.
Right.
As of every factor, the continuity of animal soul causes it become even stronger than it was at birth. That's one of the interesting things of Purim. Purim is sort of like takes this whole concept and puts it on its head. Because you drink and you eat, and you do so much physical reality, but for some reason it all becomes spiritual, all becomes Adli Yada, all becomes like a level of Kedusha somehow. They also do the Kedusha, consider yourself like a Rashi, even... It means that one must consider himself a Beinoni.
Adarabba.
Yeah, that Adarabba is important.
Chazek.
You have to, yeah. Because you're Machazek, the Yetzer, through just being just a normal being human alive, being.
Yeah.
Eating and drinking and things you have to do as a husband or whatever. For should one consider himself a Sadik and maintain that evil within him has already been nullified, he will cease to do battle with evil. So that would be a mistake. That's right. When people make a mistake, when they start thinking that they're holding. You meet people like that in the film world, they think they're holding.
Right.
Where they've actually reached a level of shlita and yetzahara. And then now they start to, it's maybe a narcissist thing, I don't know. But they start claiming as if they're the tzaddik on a certain level. And therefore, like they've conquered all these not good midas. And it's dimyonis, they have not. And then they start acting out some of those yetzaharas thinking that they're a tzaddik. Because they've confused themselves.
Right.
You understand, but with the lack of clarity, the confusion takes over. When you have clarity and you know, no, I have a nefesh b'chametz, I'm going to be real with that. And I'm going to constantly fight that, and the struggle is never going to end. That's a much more humble, real place.
Right.
And pretending you're a tzaddik when you're not, because you had a moment, you were by a tzaddik, and he elevated you because you were in his dalalamas and his tefillas.
Right.
He elevated you. For years, when I was by Rav Tzima, I felt like a tzaddik.
Wow.
But what was the reality? I'd come home and throw a chair out the window if my kids were driving me nuts.
Right, right.
And I did do that. So what was the reality? What's the reality?
The benini, right? You're
benini or worse, yeah?
Yeah.
That I was, while I'm in this presence of the tzaddik, he's elevating me into a state of the vacus and his balance I wouldn't get to by myself.
Right.
But the whole real ticking is, am I doing it within myself? What's going on? Am I facing my Nefesh Bahamas? Am I dealing with my Yetzirah? I'm not pretending I'm a tzaddik. So that's why it's so important to have this clarity. Because then you're not kidding yourself. Because what happens when someone starts thinking they're a tzaddik and they're no longer fighting, what's going to happen?
And then the Yetzirah really steps in.
Yeah, exactly.
Gives you that blow.
So to at least know you're in the fight, that in itself is a massive... We're in the fight. And we win it to win, and as the Berber said, he always used to say, this is not a spectator sport. This is full participation. Yeah? Full participation. You gotta be fully up for it every day. And we're not spectators. Purim and Yiddishkeit is
Yiddishkeit active. Is not a spectator sport.
No, it's a fully engaged, active, and all in with the fight as well, the inner struggle.